And now, the Adequate Podcast presents Ask Philo with your host, Philo T. Headbecker Kneecap, practitioner of the dark arts from Southeast Texas. Take it away, Philo!
My name is Philo Thibodeau Headbecker Kneecap, and I am a red necromancer out of Atchika, Falaka, Wakachika County in northern South Texas. And I got me here a letter here from Joseph here, and he says, Dear Philo, well, thank you, Joseph. I appreciate the sentiment. If your head was made of hot dogs, would you eat it? Now, Joseph, now, folks, I got to tell you right now that what may come across as a bit of a facetious question, which I do on occasionally receive here at Ask Philo, it actually turns out to be rather insightful and maybe even astute for reasons which I will elaborate upon. You see, my cousin Bertrand, Bertrand is also a red necromancer. He follows a slightly different tradition than I do, so his spiral-bound notebooks are college-ruled instead of the regular person rule, because he went to college, and that's kind of how that all works. He says he went to the Invisible College, and I asked him to tell me where it was, and he said, I can't tell you because you wouldn't be able to see it. And I asked him, well, you can't see it, then how the heck did you go to it? And he said, well, no, it's not that I can't see it either. It's just it's called the Invisible College, and besides which it was a correspondence school. And I said, oh, well, that makes it all right then. That's an entirely respectable way for an ambitious young red necromancer to get his education. But in any case, he was working on one of them chapters there, and they were talking about building a homo nucleus. Now, a homo nucleus, for those of you who are not as well versed in the dark arts and crafts as some of us are, is basically a pretend human being, is what that is, basically. It's got about the same number of factory-issued arms and legs and heads, and if you really want to get into detail, you know, you can carve eyes and ears and nose or shape it out of clay or whatever you want to do it, but Bertrand here was working from the idea that if he used a meat product or meat byproduct in some cases, he might actually be able to save himself a couple of very complicated hours of chanting and incanting and the occasional sacrifice, and if it didn't work out, at least he had himself a snack. So, he decided he would make a homo nucleus out of hot dogs, and we all thought that was really kind of a bold choice on his part, and said, go for it. You know, I'm certainly kind of the same way you watch somebody who's going to light a gas barbecue for the first time who's never done it before. So you're very encouraging, but you're also kind of standing well back and possibly behind somebody's truck or a plexiglass barrier if you happen to have one of those. And if you happen to have one of those, please let me know where you get yours, because I'm having an awful hard time getting them shipped down here to northern Southeast Texas. But in any case, he started out small. He practiced on Vienna sausages, which was a fascinating choice again, but mostly the only injuries that were incurred is when he nicked his finger on that really sharp lid on them cans. I don't think they actually designed those things for regular human beings, and as a matter of fact, I'm fairly certain that someone in the Hormel Corporation probably has more than 3/4 of their soul basically under lean to one or more dark powers, but that's a whole other conversation for a whole other time there, as soon as we find out whether or not I can do it legally or without, you know, having the Hormel come and trample all over my trailer again, which I really don't want to have to put up with again, because it takes an awful lot of time to get that smell out of the carpets. But in any case, Bertrand was going to make, he made a Vienna sausage homo nucleus, which was only about that tall, and it was basically like if you would put together, you know, if you've ever made like a marshmallow snowman or a marshmallow man. And by the way, the great thing about using marshmallows in your dark arts and crafts is that when it's all over and done, if it's still fairly clean, you got yourself a snack. which is following on the same basic theory as what Bertrand was doing, and he made it kind of stagger around and make little noises, very small noises, because it wasn't that big, so there wasn't a whole lot of energy for it to make noise. And we were still trying to figure out how he was able to do that, because Bertrand did not go to the trouble of, you know, carving a larynx or vocal cords or lungs or nothing, but, you know, that's the dark arts and crafts for you, always something to surprise. And he was fairly happy with that, and after we had ourselves a nice little charcuterie plate later, he decided that he would try it with hot dogs, and we discussed what kind of hot dogs here and there, and we finally settled on all beef hot dogs, because not only are they kosher, but they also tend to have a little bit more, I think the meat has a little bit more robustness, even when it is broken down into a uniform, unidentifiable pink emulsate. So, he went and set that up, and we all passed around some beers and, provided moral support, if you want to use that term, in the field of red necromancy or not, and he did all the incanting and enchanting and all that stuff, and he got a very nice eldritch glow coming off of them hot dogs. I'll tell you that right now. It was real pretty. I wish that my camera would work in a situation like that, you know, because all I got is these disposable cameras. You take a picture of some kind of eldritch event with a disposable camera, and the first thing that happens is it either bursts into flames or you get a very terse notice from the photo mat saying don't ever bring something like that back in here again. You hear me? That's why I can't, you know, go to Travis County no more, but that's a whole other conversation for another time. But he did, in fact, get about a 2.5-foot tall hot dog homonucleus tramping around and looking pretty impressive, really. We were all quite startled at just how well it came together and how well it held together, too, because it was able to get up a good head of steam as it was chasing Bertrand around the backyard. It had a little trouble getting through the picket fence, but that's because, you know, hot dogs, while they are flexible, are not that agile. I don't know if you've ever considered that, but if you throw a hot dog straight up in the air, it rarely, if ever, will land on the little pointy bit. And that was basically what the hot dog homonucleus had at the ends of its hands and its feet, which meant that even no matter how angry it got, it was very unlikely to do anything other than, you know, potentially give him, I don't know, ptomaine poisoning. It would have to hit at a real, real, real fast clip to kind of break the skin on either the homonucleus or, you know, Bertrand there. So that was pretty entertaining, and we all made some notes on that, and Bertrand said it is findings, and we had ourselves a really nice weenie roast at the end of it. And, now what was the question again? Huh? Oh, all right, well, there's... Don't touch that. That's potentially contaminated. Now, I do have another question here, and it is from Teppo out in Finland. I love Finland. Finland's a lovely place. It gets a little chilly at times, but, you know, when you live in a swamp down in the northern part of the most southeast part of your entire, you know, nation, it helps to cool off occasionally. And Teppo has a question here about catfish. Zombies or whites? And in this case, that's W-I-G-H-T-S, which is a somewhat more vengeful form of a ghost. And, you know, Teppo, you may find this challenging to believe, but that was actually something that Cousin Bertram actually studied as his minor in the Invisible College. And they sent him a really nice certificate that said so. At least he tells me it says so, because I did nothing on it. But he says, trust me, if you had gone to the college, you would be able to read it. And I'll take his word for that, because, you know, it's a correspondent school, which is an entirely respectable way for your dark necromancer to get his education in there. But in any case, catfish, weirdly enough, are neither zombies nor whites. They are, in fact, revenants, and they're one of the few fish creatures that are actually already born dead. And which is not, and it's not real clear how this happens, but when they go from egg to catfish, they pretty much get that soulish look in their eyes, and they're all immediately swimming around looking for trouble and beating up on other fish and biting humans and trying to wreck boats and, you know, getting stuck in propellers and stuff like that. And as far as we can tell here at the down here in the county, our fishing game warden actually did a little study on it, and he says that as far as he is concerned, they are, hang on, I'm going to quote it here from the paper here. Those soulless abominations can sit in the mud and rot until someone drags them up by their face and deep fries them for all I care. And if that's not the definition of a revenant, I don't really know what is. I told my grandmother that because, as you know, grandma's not a zombie. She's a revenant, and she kind of chewed on that little bitey thing that we keep her from chawing on us on, and got this kind of speculative gleam in her eye, and I think she pretty much agrees with me on that, but, you know, sometimes it's hard to tell because she's kind of lost most of the use of the consonants of the English language, and we did try giving her a pen, but she just kept trying to eat that. And, what was the question again?
Thank you, Philo. This has been Ask Philo with Philo T. Headbecker Kneecap, practitioner of the dark arts in Southeast Texas. Got a question for Philo? Send it to pod@theadequate.com. That's pod@theadequate.com. Ask Philo is a production of The Adequate Company, and anyone who takes it seriously deserves to.